Welcome in! Latest episode of that SEC podcast. I'm your host, Michael Bratton. Go by SEC Mike on the Twitters. And there he is, everybody's favorite cousin, Cousin Shane. How's it going, brother?
Hey, buddy, what's going on?
Oh, I'll tell you what's going on, man. Shane doesn't even know what we're about to talk about, but we are absolutely loaded, Shane, with SEC football content. Spring is in the air. It's in the SEC. We got a number of coaches. We got the commissioner here throwing shade. We got Shane Beamer up here in Washington, D.C. Man, we got a lot going on this one.
Oh, I love it, man. I love it. It feels like, I know we still got a little bit of an offseason, but this is what I'm talking about, Mike. Some real football content kind of gets that blood flowing and gets you ready for some college football, man. So, yeah, I was off Twitters today. So This is all going to be brand new, and I'm looking forward to some great news, brother.
Well, and then right off the bat, I feel horrible, Shane. Shout out Cousin Jacob. He gave us $5. Thoughts on the massive A&M media deal? Yig'em, he says, but I just logged on and saw that. And I know they signed a deal, but I don't have enough knowledge to really break it down. But again, Shane and I are going to be together in Nashville.
Yep.
And our buddy Billy Lucci. If he's in town, he's going to hop into studio to break it all down. So hopefully we can deep dive on that. Geez Louise says, are we muted again? I can hear you.
Can they hear us? Am I muted?
I don't know. Maybe Geez Louise is muted. Maybe we're all muted.
Dang. Maybe they're messing with us. You know, this is the thing. When they're the producer, we have to take their word for it. And when you're getting... news from Jeez Louise, it's like, I don't know.
We don't pay him enough for the job he does, you know? Thank you. Okay, yeah, appreciate you, Liquid. He's our real producer and / IT guy.
That bastard. You got me.
Hey, but again, so we got a ton to get into, Shane.
Yes.
But before we do, let's get your reaction. We haven't had you live. You had an outstanding interview with Travis over the weekend. Go check it out. Yes. Well, as soon as this is over, don't click off now. But we have not heard from you, Shane, since the shot heard round SEC basketball. Mayshak nails the three, beats Alabama. Tennessee may never lose to Alabama ever again.
I loved it, man, because it was a series of events. It wasn't like just one shot. Everything had to go your way. And you talk about a perfect ending. It's one of those that I know Bama fans out there were just like, well, this one's done. This one's over. Get your keys out. They're probably heading out of the place. And there may have been some Vol fans that didn't even get to see this shot because they gave up on it. And that's why you stayed till the damn end. And it was unbelievable. I mean, it was a kickoff to truly March Madness, brother. You know what I'm saying? It feels like that's what we're going to get for the rest of this month.
Right. And again, so that's why Shane's coming up. We're coming up for the SEC tournament.
Yep.
We usually don't get in the door. Well, last year they let us in the doors and they kicked us right out again. But so hopefully we'll see some of y'all up there. We're going to be eating some hot chicken. Cannot wait. Yeah. But you're right. So we only got a couple basketball games real quick, Shane, tonight. Number one, Auburn at number 22, A&M. Auburn has already clinched the SEC regular season title. I think technically it's like a tie, but their next win, I think they get it for good. Either way, they're regular season SEC champs. They look like the best damn team in the country. They whooped the hell out of Kentucky and Lexington over the weekend. That was one hell of a game until ESPN cut the feed or whatever. I don't know what happened there. And then how about this one? This is another big one tonight, Shane. Arkansas at Vanderbilt.
Yeah.
Both these teams really could use a win. Joe Lunardi has got Arkansas not in the tournament. Last four in. So these are the critical games that may decide whether Arkansas makes it in or not. And he's got Vanderbilt as a number 9 seed. So they're firmly in. But a loss here, who knows? Maybe they're on that bubble. So that's a hell of a big game tonight. Georgia at South Carolina. Georgia, according to Joe Lunardi, is in as a number 11 seed, but you lose to South Carolina, which has only won two conference games. Mm-hmm. Maybe you're out again. And believe it or not, Shane, South Carolina is the betting favorite to win this basketball game. So this is, I think, a must win for Georgia. And then Texas at Mississippi State. Joe Lunardi's got Texas first four out. So they're out. you beat a ranked team on the road, your ass is back in. You know what I mean? So the madness has begun in the SEC, and there's a lot of games tonight that I think are going to have tournament implications.
It's that time, man, where you're cleaning up the resume. You know what I'm saying? Do a little proofreading here, and I feel like that's where we're at in the SEC basketball. And like you said, there's some must-win games this week. And I feel like when it gets down to selection, whatever day they do it, do they do Saturday Sunday. Still?
Sunday.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Whenever they get to this, I feel like you're going to look back to this week and like, well, shit, we should have got it together that week, you know?
Yeah, if you couldn't tell already, Cousins, Shane's the type of guy that once someone hands him the bracket, that's when he's like, oh, that's who they're playing. That's who he was playing.
I love it. We used to do it. I mean, when I was in high school, we would do this. We would put money, put it in a cup, you know, and you pull out 64 teams, and you just pray to God you didn't get, you know, UTEP or something. But then you're watching a tournament because anything can happen. That's why, you know, they call it March Madness. But, yeah, I know the brackets are coming out, and nobody ever hits them, but I don't know. Maybe I will. Maybe I will this year. If they bring that billion-dollar bracket again, that would be awesome.
Right, but my point was, Shay, you're not the type that's going to sit there and watch the damn selection show and break and analyze the brackets, are you?
No. I'm the football guy, you know? I'm not going to – everybody know it that's watching this show. They're like, Shane likes basketball. He don't love basketball. I'm starting to love it, but I am all football right now, brother.
Yeah, so safe to say, again, this could be literally the best SEC tournament ever in a week's time here in Nashville. Great city of Nashville. But you're still more excited about the hot chicken.
The chicken, man. It's all about the chicken. I'm like, I can't wait to see which ones he picks. I'm looking forward to drinking cold beer, you know. I mean, I'm going to enjoy basketball because I'm there. And if you've not been to Nashville during this event, brother, this isn't an SEC championship game. This is, I can't explain it, but you got all fan bases there. Downtown's, it's pretty much lockdowns, walking around.
Yeah.
It's just awesome, man. It's just good vibes there. And then when you get done, you can go to the strip, do all that stuff. But yeah, I'm pumped up for it, man.
Well, you talk about your love of football. Let's switch gears to where our heart's at here, Shane. I don't know if you saw this. Yesterday, Commissioner Greg Sankey was on with Paul Feinbaum. And some pretty interesting comments here, Shane. So let's get right into it about Nebraska canceling the Tennessee series. He also shouted out Wake Forest canceling Ole Miss, literally moments after Ole Miss went to Wake Forest, whipped their ass, and then they said, you know what, we ain't gonna play Ole Miss anymore. Here's his comment straight from the Feinbaum Show. I saw a series that was disappointing from my perspective when Nebraska announced it wasn't going to play a contracted series with the University of Tennessee. I think that that would have been great for college football. Early in the season, though, we saw Wake Forest like 2 or 3 days before the first game with Ole Miss cancel that. This is not to point a finger at Nebraska, but the AD told me, I talked to the college football playoff selection committee members, and they said they didn't think not playing this game would hurt Nebraska's opportunity to make the playoffs. So that's critical there. So Sankey says this is not good for college football. So again, point being, Nebraska backs out because they know that, you know, just look at Indiana. You don't have to play anybody. Indiana, I can't believe this was not held against them. For those that don't know, they were scheduled to play Louisville last year, Shane, and they switched it out for, like, you know, Tennessee School of the Blind or whatever, and it didn't hurt them. So again, the committee has rewarded, you know, they don't care who you play. It's just, they look at the record. You won 10 games, you're in the playoff. And from that standpoint, if that's what Nebraska really did, they heard from the committee, backing out of this game is not going to hurt you. I hate it. Just like Sankey's saying here, but I understand the logic, and that should give you an indication that something's broken if this is benefiting Nebraska.
Nebraska cowards. That's what they are. It's changed their name. It's changed. They won't do spring, and now they won't play football game. What are they going to do? You know, just what sport are they going to play when they just opt out of college football altogether? So, yeah, I think it's obviously it's a coward's way out, but I mean, do you blame them? I mean, would do you blame them at all? I mean, as a fan, I want to see the game. But if I'm an AD, if I'm a head coach, and I'm like, dude, we can, like you said, Tennessee School of the Blind, give me that so that we have an opportunity to get to a college football playoff. Because at the end of the day, that's the game they're really going to judge me. And it's, trust me, they're not going to make a play. The fact we're even talking about playoffs with Nebraska just is kind of comical in itself. I think this, maybe that loss is what keeps Matt up there for another season.
Well, I did hear him on another podcast, and he said, you know, they were asking him about week one. We got Texas at Ohio State, and he basically, you know, he outright said it. He said, why in the world would any Big Ten team sign up for that when we got these nine? He's like, we got nine conference games up here. Sometimes we got five road games, yada, yada, yada. SEC only gets three road games, like a bunch of BS coming from old Matt Rhule. But I don't know much about him, but it seems like he's looking to take the easy route to get where he's trying to get. Maybe that's why Nebraska can't field a winning program.
Yeah, I think so.
man, a bunch of losers. All right, hey, how about this? Speaking of interesting,
we went to school with a Matt Rhule. You know what I'm saying? Like, in your class, you always had one of these guys that just always ruins it. You know, that curve. He's actually the one that studied for the test, you know, yeah. And they couldn't do the correction so that we can all pass. It's like, oh, Jesus, Matt Rhule's screwing up again. Sorry.
You asked, what will Nebraska do? Cousin Tony says they're going to play some cornhole. many different meanings there. But hey, shout out to Shane Beamer. Did you see this? He was in Washington
today.
Politicking. You know, they've been asking Congress, whoever, I don't even know. I don't follow politics that closely. But they're asking the government to fix NIL. Here's Shane Beamer. About a minute of he makes some good points here. Let's kick it over to him.
If you don't act, college sports will be destroyed by never-ending litigation and conflicting state laws. And designating student athletes as employees is not the right path, because an employment model will drastically reduce the number of sports a school is able to offer. In contrast, a federal law will guarantee the future of Olympic sports that help develop future Olympians for our codes in college athletics. And quite simply, we need your help. The system is long overdue change. The current situation is unsustainable. A national bipartisan federal law will provide equal opportunity for all student athletes to benefit from NIL and create a uniform standard to ensure we're all playing by the same. Regards to the new revenue sharing model, I think it's a fantastic thing, because one, it will provide opportunities for all student athletes as well. It will level the playing field, if you will, in a lot of ways, and it will allow all student athletes to capitalize on their name, image, and likeness through revenue sharing and having a piece of what they deserve because of what they bring to our universities.
All right, Shane, so to boil that down, here's the big issue right now in college sports, right?
Yeah.
They want what's called collective bargaining, like they have in all the pro leagues, but they don't want the players to be employees, where that's how you get it in all the in NFL, NBA, on and on and on. They're employees, they're in a collective bargaining agreement, and that's how you get, you know, there's caps and you can only spend so much on certain players, yada, yada, yada. So they want this in college football, but they do not want them to be employees. So that's why they're up there in Congress to ask, or, you know, to where they can collectively bargain, but not have them employees. So they want their cake and they want to eat it too. But we shouldn't be surprised, but thoughts on what Beamer had to say there.
So what would be the perfect, like, if Shane Beamer had him, I mean, he's not here, he's not on the show, but just from everything you've heard, what would be his fix? So,
I think what they really want is contracts.
Yeah.
To where let's just use Lenore Sellers, because he's his quarterback. That's the only reason I'm using him. You sign Lenore Sellers to a contract for 3 years. That way he can't constantly say, well, I'm going to go in the portal if you don't do what I, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like this is what they want. They want contracts. They want, you know, cap limits so that, you know, South Carolina can have a $20 million budget, whatever, and they don't want Ohio State to have $40 million budget because it's not on an equal playing field. You know what I mean? So, you know, they basically want it to be professionals without...
But not employees.
Calling the players professionals.
It's 1099 their ass. Yeah, I got you. I pick up what you're putting down. So, geez, I don't know. I mean, that you're right. I think you're asking for a lot there, and I just don't see that happening. I mean, this day and age, I would see employees first before I saw contracts, I would think, unless, again, you know, you, I mean, you know how politics is. You know, they got all those people up there, and maybe they got there because they paid the right people, but maybe something like that happens. But I don't know, man. I this is way above my pay grade.
Right. It's just a slippery slope, you know, because if they are employees, then there's gonna be many guys, I would think, to say, well, why in the hell, I'm not going to class.
Yeah,
I'm getting paid to play football. I'm not going to go to math 101 or whatever, you know what I mean? Like, and why would they?
Yeah.
You know, so there's just a lot of things going on here. And again, they are terrified of, you know, whenever, if the NCAA, the SEC, the Big Ten, it's really just SEC and Big Ten now, if they set a rule that an athlete is just going to sue.
Yeah.
So, and by precedent, I mean, I think that's what they're looking at. Any rule they try to make, they're just going to get sued. You know what?
What a slippery slope, man. What a damn slippery slope. It feels like we argue about this, and we have been arguing about this. It feels like for the last 4 years, at least 3 years, you know, and it doesn't feel like I'm not getting anything here. You know, I feel like NCAA's now, you know, they're out. They're not a big deal. But other than that, I don't see light at the end of the tunnel. I hear a lot of this, a lot of chirping, a lot of coaches this, a lot of ADs this, a lot of, you know, commissioners this. But at the end of the day, I don't see anything. It's almost like they're beating their heads against a wall and we have to keep listening to it.
Yeah, and I think the only solution, and again, I don't even know if this is possible, but since the Big Ten and the SEC own the playoff essentially moving forward, I would set rules that they each follow.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, if the ACC, the Big 12, Sun Belt, whoever says, well, hell, we're going to do unlimited caps, then I would just say, well, then you can't be in our playoff.
Yeah.
Who the hell's going to go play at Florida State if you can't go to the playoff? I don't care. Well, unless they're making, you know, ungodly money, but why would they?
Right.
If there's no playoff, you know what I mean? Yeah. Who the hell's going to, that's the only fix I see to all this.
And it's so funny because you'll talk to people just out and about, and like sometimes I'll wear Tennessee stuff, and one of the first things they talk about is, you know, this portal has really ruined the game, you know, and you can always kind of tell how old they are by the conversation, you know, like, hey, we're about the same age, you know, and he's just like, they don't make them like they used to, you know.
Yeah, it depends on how successful their team is, whether they really like the portal, you know what?
Yeah, you see a Buckeye, they're like, hey, we may repeat, you know.
Well, if we could repeat champion cousin, you know who we're giving it to, brother. We're giving it to JR. Yeah. He just gifted another membership. Thank you, JR. This time.
Thank you, JR.
Stephanie S. Welcome to the family. Courtesy of the legend, JR. Stephanie, damn glad to have you here. So, all right, Shane, enough of the Congress. Enough of Sankey, yada, yada, yada. How about this? This is... Well, something else to complain about, I guess. did you hear this, Shane? Oklahoma, they made it official.
Mm-hmm.
They're not doing a spring game. I'm going to throw up their schedule. Maybe because, you know, we don't want to reveal anything with this offense, with this damn schedule. But here's what they're going to do, Shane. Instead, they're going to do what they're calling the Crimson Combine Fan Day. Mm-hmm. It'll have players and coaches, and they'll do combine-style drills, skill challenges. But they are going to do, they're going to open up the football stadium. They're going to have fans there. They're going to do autographs. They're going to do photos and all this. And they said, expect to hear from our new GM, Jim Nagy, and offensive coordinator, Ben Arbuckle. So fans will probably, you know, they'll get something out of this. You know, they're not completely turning their backs on the fans, but this does cost money to go to. It's $10 to get into, and it's not a spring game. And I'm seeing most Oklahoma fans are pretty unhappy with this, as I think they have every right to be.
Yeah, absolutely. You got a new quarterback. You got a new OC, DC. I mean, there's a whole bunch of change in a pivotal season. And, you know, when you talk about, like, I appreciate you and Steven's show yesterday, but that's kind of what rings to me. It's like, which team do I want to be a part of in the offseason? And because of all those moving pieces, Oklahoma's toward the top. You know, it's one thing if you've got a repeat, or you kind of understand, like, you didn't have a lot of turnover type deal. And I get the spring game situation, but Oklahoma has so many wild factors that are going in to this spring matchup that it was going to be really intriguing. It's going to be one of my favorite games to watch. And now I can't watch it, but I can watch them do pushups and, you know, sign. I mean, if I pay $10, I mean, that's, it's like, if you're not going to play the damn game, then open the doors. You'll make money off concessions. You know, right. You don't have to charge them coming through the gates, but yeah, I kind of with them because they're practicing. It's right. Not like they're not having, you know, they could just do a practice. They don't have to actually play. It could be flat. It could just something, but no, we're not.
I think what they're going to have to do there again, I've got all the answers here, Shane. I think what they're going to have to do, they're going to have to do away with the second portal window. Mm-hmm. Oh, you can only do one portal, and it's got to be before spring football. I think that's the only shot we have at having spring games back. And again, maybe I think these coaches have been against spring games the entire time. But you know what, Shane? These guys are making $7-8, you know, some of them, I think $13 million now.
Yeah.
They shouldn't get every damn thing they want, I don't think. I mean, they're getting paid a lot of money for things like this. You know what I mean? So if we could do away with the, that's what's killing us though. Cause the coaches, and they have, this is where it's fair. You know, they'll just complain, well, I don't want my guys poached. I don't want someone that thinks they're good enough to be a starter, and then come the spring game, find out, you know, they're really third string. Like Stephen was telling me about, so Oregon signed a quarterback, right? Mm-hmm. He was there for bowl practice. And then he said, well, hell, I'm third string. He literally signed. He went through bowl practice and said, I'm going to Cal where I can play. You know what I mean? Like, we can't have that.
Yeah.
So to do away with that, we got to do away, I think, of the spring portal. I think that's the way back to getting spring games to where no one can poach your roster.
And I think it's part of it. I think it's a part of it for sure. And this is what they're leaning on. But there's other things. You know, coaches don't want spring games. They'd rather have an extra practice, you know. So
right.
I get the coaches, but you know, this should be about fans first too. You know, I mean, we're ultimately the ones paying the bills. You know, we're the ones watching the games. We're the ones that are going to be paying the money to go see this. And I feel like they're the ones that are getting the biggest hit here. I mean, Oklahoma needs some, they've had some splash, you know, recruiting. They've had a splash hire, you know, this could have been a launch pad into 25 too. Off an exciting spring game. So now you're like, just, hey, baby, we're back, you know?
Yeah, I think you really want to showcase John Mattier in this offense. Throwing in some, like, remember when Heupel got to Tennessee, it was like they went from Jeremy Pruitt, which was god-awful offensive football.
Yep.
And then the first Heupel spring game, it's not like they, like, everybody was like, oh, God, you know, we got the Heupel plan now. But they threw it all over the yard.
Yeah.
And fans got excited. You know what I mean? Like, I don't really see the harm. And, you know, it didn't devastate the team. There was still the portal. I don't know. I think this is kind of like a lame ass excuse these coaches are using.
Yep. Absolutely. And I blame Matt Rhule. So there it is.
Well, speaking of the Sooners' greatest rival, Shane, you know what I'm talking about. Come on, Dan. They've opened spring down in Mizzou, Shane. And man, a new look for the offense specifically, new quarterbacks, new receivers, new running backs, a lot of transition. And obviously, you know, the big question mark is the quarterback competition, Shane. Let's kick it over to Drake, who he's got a lot to say here, Shane, on there was a lot made. Anybody that missed it, Sam Horn took the reps, first team reps.
Yep.
He explains that here. And he was asked, you know, what are you going to be looking for in the quarterback competition? Let's kick it over to him.
Quarterback room at large, what does an ideal spring look like there? Is there a timeline on when you want to start and replace? What does that kind of look like?
You know, there's an old saying, when the student is ready, the teacher will appear, right? So, you know, I think, you know, the quarterback position, there is no timeline, no timetable. When the starting quarterback makes himself known to the rest of the team, we'll announce a starter. But I told those guys that there is no plan to try to name a starter through spring. I don't really believe in that because I think it puts too much pressure on the team and everybody involved. This is about individual player development. It is about each player trying to get better and better every single day. And, you know how we decided who was going to be the first quarterback out there today? Old-fashioned paper, rock, scissors. All right? So don't look too much into that. It's about player growth and not having pressure of performance right now. That'll come, but it's about these guys making plays.
You've got three players there that are their strengths that some people are a little bit different in those legs and Cameron Crew's arm. What does that do in these kind of infant stages of spring camp? What are you kind of looking at for in terms of development?
Yeah, my biggest thing with a quarterback is really about what's his growth and learning potential. You know, the thing about Brady Cook is he didn't make the same mistake twice, right? So we lost a lot of one-score games in his first year. And then the last 2 years, we won a ton of them, all right, because he learned from those situations. And so what we've got to force these quarterbacks to go into is we got to put you in the red zone. You got to make a mistake and then not make it again. You know, we got to put you in two-minute drill and you make a mistake and not make it again. And that'll be the growth that we're trying to see. So, you know, somebody making a great throw in a four-set rack, we're not going to get real excited about it. It's going to be about how do they respond to the mistakes they make. And that'll put us in the right path. As far as, like, playing to everybody's strengths right now, you know, we're just putting in an offense. And then we'll tailor that offense to whoever the starter is once we get there. But the thing about Coach Moore's offense is it's got a multiplicity to it. And so, you know, these guys are just getting the DNA, and then they're going to make plays within the DNA of the offense.
Based on that, Shane, they ain't naming a starter anytime soon. Not until that portal closes. You know what?
No. When you hear paper, rock, scissors, you know, you got a little security there. So I think it's smart. This is what we used to talk about, you know, prior to how crazy it was. It's like people get upset where you're at on that depth chart, especially quarterbacks. And, you know, you want to get them both in there because sometimes you're better at practice than you are in a game and vice versa. And how do you, I mean, when you've got all your fans in there for a spring game, and some of these games were having 40, 50,000 people, right. I think it added an element to somebody that was not in that system. And they're really missing out on that. But it sounds like we're going to have a tight one in Mizzou. Do you think, how close do you think this quarterback race really is there? Just if you were guessing, do you think it's like a 60-40 type situation, or do you think we're closer to a 50-50?
Well, I don't know how you really judge it till they actually start really getting into practice, you know. Yeah. But here's where I wanted to ask you, because now that Sam Horn is cleared, now he can't stay healthy, but I believe every time he's got injured, it was on baseball field, unfortunately. But so maybe that's not fair to say he can't stay healthy in football. But if it's true, and again, this On3 reported it, so if Bo Pribula, I think I butcher his name every time I say it, Shane. If they really paid him $1.5 million,
yeah,
are they really going to let him sit the bench? Are we discounting Sam Horn? Who, again, he was a touted prospect. He had a lot of offers. Tennessee really wanted him. I know that. Could it be Sam Horn? Perhaps. Do they have the stones to sit a high priced free agent though? I don't know. Does that factor into the decision at all? I think at a lot of places it would. What's your thoughts on that? Can they afford a $1.5 million backup?
Yeah. I mean, you're going to put the guy out there that's going to help you win. At the end of the day, ultimately, who owns the locker room? Who owns the playing field? And do you have their schedule in front of you? And one of the things I'm looking at here is just, you know, I'm not a fan of quarterback controversy. I'm not a fan of that at all. But, you know, I feel like there is a little bit of wiggle room, you know, because, you know, the first three games, especially that second one, cupcake, you know what I'm saying? It's like you've got some time But I don't want that, Mike. I want this thing to be settled sooner than later. And you got to remember, Sam was highly touted himself. You know, we just not got to see it. There was a moment, I remember, was it year before last? We got to see, maybe it was like a spring practice or something, and when somebody released a video, you know, from a Motorola Razr, and we're just like, oh my God, you know, this Sam, he can whip it, you know? And there was a moment when we thought we had quarterback competition with him and Brady. So, I mean, Sam hasn't had the path that we would like to have. I mean, he should have been a starter by now, but I feel like folks could be sleeping on him at the end of the day, man.
Well, and I'll take.
And on that note, sorry, and to cut you off, talk about having a damn, I mean, you got two totally different quarterbacks. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. You, if you're going to have a little bit of a yin and yang, it's like, what a damn combination that could be.
But I think I think you missed the mark when you talk about the schedule.
Yeah.
Because Central Arkansas, yeah, who cares? Pick your score type game. But week two, Kansas, you're talking like it's a luxury that we're just going to win that game. You start the wrong quarterback and you lose that game. There's fans that will literally never forgive you for that.
No, I know.
Unless you rebound, you go to the playoff, Notre Dame style. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So this has got to be figured out by week two, because you cannot afford to drop that game. I really, especially at home with it not being played in such a long time. I think there's a hell of a lot more pressure on Missouri than there is Kansas in that game.
Yeah. No, I'm right there with you. I was just giving them a hard time. I think this will be settled. It may already be settled, but I believe by week two, we're going to have a clear cut QB one. And I'm right there with you. You got to have it, because you drop that one, buddy. You talk about the wheels rolling off. All, you know, any of the positives that we've spun for Mizzou the last couple of seasons goes right out the window when you lose to that damn team.
Well, you know, I could spin it, though. You'd still be undefeated in SEC. Come on. You know, you can still win. You can still win. Everything. All your goals are in front of you. You know,
no, that is not an option, man. That is not an option.
Yeah, Clark says, I don't know, I have no idea if this is true. Kansas beat two or three top 25 teams last year. Well, he says like, and he said, then he listed two or three. So I'm not sure he knows either.
A lot of variables there.
Yeah, I think they had one. I think they had one big top 25 win. I do remember that. I think it was Colorado.
Yeah, I mean,
and who cares? Who cares about that? You know?
Yeah. It's like not my top 25. So, but yeah, we'll see. We'll see how that game goes. It could be really good. I will say this. Both those teams absolutely hate each other. It's going to be freaking awesome to watch.
Right. Well, speaking of good, Shane. Oh, bless you. You know what's good? Is old Public Rec. Come on. They're back for another week with the show, Shane. Head on over to publicrec.com. Put in that promo code SEC for 20% off your full order. I think Shane is having a fit over there. I typed in Public Rec. He's got to go check it out, see what's going on over at the Public Rec. But if you're saying, what is this Public Rec? It's high quality clothing that they hooked us up with. They sent us a shirt and a pants. I loved all of it, but I loved the pants so much that I paid for my own to get a second pair, Shane. So again, that's publicrec.com/SEC. That'll take you right there with the discount code, or just put in SEC at checkout, get 20% off your entire order. Love me some stretch. They're like stretchy, nice designer type jeans that feel like sweatpants, Shane. I mean, you can't beat it.
No. I mean, we bought some for Christmas, not for myself, but definitely for some family members. And I've seen them around with them. So clearly that was a gift that just keeps giving, you know?
He says, Mike just bullied Shane.
Yeah, I felt it a little bit. Sorry, I puked in my mouth talking about Kansas there.
I get it. Well, hey, let's rebound with that. A good taste of your mouth, perhaps. Alabama, Shay, they've opened spring football here. So let's kick it over. Kalen DeBoer, man, I love these quarterback competitions, Shane. Could decide the fate of Missouri, could decide the fate of Alabama. How's this breaking down? And, man, our man Kalen, he had a little, I've never seen this guy – you know, joke and laugh. I think that may be clip number two. But here's Kalen DeBoer on the quarterback competition.
Did the quarterback battle
show
itself today?
It's all itself? No. Yeah. Good question there, Nick. No, it's something. I mean, just they're all at different points, but a few things procedure wise that are a little different, and good to see those guys all operating through that. And they all had their times, of course, where they looked really good, and times where they got to continue to grow and get better.
The roster says that Keelan put on, I think, 17 pounds. How much different does he look now than when you were recruiting him out of high school?
Yeah, I saw him last summer, and saw him in person for one game last fall. So, he's in pads and all of that at that time too. So, he looks good right now, strong and moves around. Just, he's a good all around athlete. But the weight program for him is certainly, any new guy is going to be critical. And, it's good to get that first phase under the belt. That's why being an early enrollee is so important. And then obviously now, even through the spring, there's multiple reasons, but one of the reasons we go every other day and not back to back ever is just so we can get big days of lifting in, really a minimum of three times a week.
All right, Shane, so if you missed it there, five-star quarterback Keelan Russell apparently has gained 17 pounds since he got to campus.
Shit.
How much did you gain your first semester up there at UT?
Dude, probably like 40, 35.
Pure muscle.
Yeah, just that's all this is undeveloped muscle, So, no, I don't think, it's funny. I was always a big guy, but I don't think I did a lot. Here's the thing at UT. It's like there's a lot of hills, man. There is a lot of walking, and I kept it in check for quite some time. But
the way I remember it, and correct me if I'm wrong, maybe it wasn't you, maybe it was someone else. But I just remember because you're a little bit older than I by 2 years, I guess. And I remember you were up there. I think this was you. Could have been someone else, but were you blown away by the meal card where you could get like unlimited food at basically any time, any day?
Yeah. I mean, that's ultimately when I decided to just stop going to class, that meal card really came in handy because that's all the walking I did was from the dorm down to, grab a bite to eat before we went and drank somewhere. So,
right.
Remember, we were the number one party school that year. So it was absolutely wild. I mean, to go from, and mom's watching, she's probably like closing her ears, to go from, I mean, we're in the Bible Belt, brother. And we had some rules. And then I go to the campus up there at UT, number one party school in the country. And man, I couldn't believe it. There was just no way. The cards were stacked against me, Mike. There was no way I was going to leave there with a 4.0. That's for sure.
Well, hey, jumping back to Keelan Russell though. I'll throw up a schedule here, but does that impress you at all? True freshman quarterback coming in. I mean, you hear Lyman bulking up like this, but quarterback, I think he's got clearly. I mean, how could you shape it any other way? He's coming in here with the mindset that he's at least going to get his body ready to perhaps contribute right away. And this is one of the hottest topics right now down in Tuscaloosa. Shane, Ty Simpson, he's waited his time. Yep. He was a touted recruit himself. He's yet to prove himself to at an Alabama elite standard. So that doesn't mean he can't do it, but there's obviously been players in front of him. Ty Simpson, Keelan Russell, and you cannot write off either Austin Mack, the transfer from Washington that's been with DeBoer for several years. Tricky game though, right out the gate. You got at Florida State. You simply cannot lose that one.
Right.
And then you got at Georgia in a couple weeks later. So I think it's fair to say, you let me know if I'm wrong, but I think this is the quarterback competition that looms the largest in all of college football, because after going 9-4, we've got to go turbocharged here, and Alabama's got the roster to do it, but it's going to come down to whether they pick the right quarterback or not.
Yeah, and I don't think you can afford to make a bad pick here. Like you said, Florida State, a lot of people are going to be down on them because of last season, but this is a right team. I mean, ask LSU about playing FSU. This is This is a team you penciled in as a victory, and if you walk away August 30th 0-1 with quarterback controversy, brother, you talk about a seat heating up real quick. And I'm not firing, you know, DeBoer, but there'll be a lot of fans that will. And, you know, they were upset with what happened last year. Now you're getting a little bit more of Kalen's system. And if it starts off sloppy, you're going to scratch your head and say, did we hire the wrong guy?
You said you ain't firing him.
I know.
I'll fire him.
There is not an Alabama coach that's safe. I know that.
And then he's got one other, Shane. So what does he look for in a starting quarterback? Here is old DeBoering here. I should stop calling him that. He's not boring. But here's Kalen DeBoer on his quarterbacks here.
Well, I mean, it's got to be a guy that can deliver the ball, command the huddle, command everything we do with the team. Just that presence and that belief and confidence in your signal caller. And so, it starts with a lot of that, just the belief. But the belief comes because you're making the throws and, you're getting the ball to the guys in a fashion where they can go make their plays and reap the rewards of all the work that they put in.
You've dealt with a lot of high-end quarterbacks. Where does Kalen how does he rank compared to other like true freshmen that you've dealt with, I guess, mm-hmm. coming in? How more is he advanced to mm-hmm. get that level?
Yeah, he's up there. You know, he certainly is. I mean, he's got a long ways that he to go, because I think that's the way he looks at it, and he's excited about what this growth's going to be even during this spring. But his ceiling and what he accomplished through what you can see on the high school film, he's a pretty elite quarterback, coming in as a high school or high school senior, current freshman for us.
Obviously, a young room at pretty elite, Shane. So if he doesn't perform it, it's not on him, is it? It's on old DeBoer.
Yeah, there you go. You're already stacking the cards against him. I just love it because freshmen, you didn't used to see this, man. You never saw freshman quarterbacks, but these kids are so ready for the next level. It's like, some of these colleges, their senior years, the camps and stuff, it's almost like a little bit of a JUCO type, it feels like, and it just the transition is easier, not easier, but you see it more often than not. So I don't know, man, we may have us a serious quarterback competition down there, and I'm okay with that. I think you put the best guy out there, and if it is a freshman, who gives a shit, man? Go out there and win this thing. But I do think too that if there is some growing pains early in the season, you forgive it. DJ Lagway had a lot of mistakes that he made early in the season that kind of ticked off Gator fans, but at the end of the year, by God, they came around when they started winning games.
Yeah, and I think this will really help whoever the quarterback is. Shout out receiving yards returning, Alabama 72%. That's number two in the SEC, and offensive line always obviously huge for any first year quarterback. 65% of the offensive line snaps from last year is back for Alabama. That's fifth highest in the SEC. So the pieces are in place for whoever this quarterback, who the starting quarterback is, whoever that is, to be put into a position. Even if it is a true freshman, again, the highest rated true freshman quarterback Alabama has ever signed. The hype is real, and at this point, I can't remember if it was this point, Shade, or if it was fall, but I think it was fall. Remember, everybody was like, Ryan Williams, Ryan Williams, Ryan Williams. And I said, yeah, buddy, if a true freshman is their best receiver, they might suck. And not that they suck, but it was just Ryan Williams was that damn good.
Right.
If we start hearing similar things about Kalen Russell, I don't think they can keep him off the field.
No. And shit, man, I know it's spring. We do this, Mike, but you know what I'm saying? You know where I'm going, because we'll talk Georgia, we'll talk Texas, we'll talk Ole Miss and Tennessee and all these teams that have a great shot to get to the next level. But it feels like poor old Alabama is not getting talked about near as much. And you're right. If this kid is the next upcoming, man, maybe we're sleeping on the Tide and we shouldn't be.
Yeah, they're in arguably a better position where the expectations are finally lowered a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, the fans still demand excellence, but
yeah,
I don't know. That's going to be used as motivation, because I can't imagine anybody is really going to be voting Alabama to win the SEC, to win the national championship, coming off what happened last year.
I don't know if Paul can handle a good season, can he? He likes that turmoil down there.
And speaking of spring updates, I get it. Everybody's handling it a little bit differently. But my understanding is Alabama will have a spring game, but I don't think it's going to be technically a game. They're probably going to do something similar to Oklahoma. But here's the catch, Shane. They're not televising it. So you got to get your ass down there to watch it. So that's their variation of how they're handling it, apparently.
As long as it comes out the next day, you know. I don't have to watch it live. In fact, I'd prefer not to and catch it the next day. So long as it's on my TV at some point.
Well, that's the thing. I don't think it's going to be on TV at all.
Well, we need a YouTuber down there or something to make this happen. We got a lot of streamers down there.
Yeah. Well, hey, another team, Shane, that is in spring already. I love that there's all these teams, and there's going to be a hell of a lot more by the end of the week that are kicking off spring. But how about the Vanderbilt Commodores, Shane, who are number one in offensive returning production, number one in defensive returning production. This is the most loaded team Clark Lea has ever had in his 4 years up there at Vanderbilt. But he has given up being the defensive play caller, Shane. They took big steps on the defensive side of the football with him calling the plays. Yeah. He's turning the keys over. Why is he doing it? Let's kick it over to him.
Clark, what went into your decision to, you know, name a new defensive coordinator instead of calling the plays yourself?
I think a lot of it just had to do with paying attention a year ago to where I felt like I was effective and where I felt like I lost some effectiveness. And I think when you look at the defensive coordinator position, especially for where our program is and what we need from the head coach, where we're still trying to build something, when I was just a D coordinator, I would spend 100 hours a week doing that job. And when you call a play, you want the process to lead to that play. And to be immersed in that process, I think, is really important for that position. So as the year wore on, it felt like more and more that there were gaps in my preparation that I was having late in the week kind of catch up to. And this is all about efficiency of operation. I just felt like Steve Gregory was ready to take on that responsibility. I have a lot of trust in him. I've trained him in our system and in our process for a year. And to me, we had room to be better. And though we improved defensively last year, we had some gaps in our performance that I want to see improvement on this year. And Steve's going to be leading the charge to make those improvements.
Well, Shane, as you can tell by that clip, you can hear it.
That's progress.
They are they are still working on it in the stadium. I think they're going to be working on it till the day it's probably till the season kicks off. You know what?
Well, for a second, I was like, they could have asked the guy to stop weed eating for a second, couldn't they? Can we take this conversation inside?
But yeah, any thoughts on what he had to say there? Giving up play calling again? They were pretty good on deep. Now I thought they really kind of wilted towards the tail end of the season. I still think they don't quite have the bodies, obviously, that a lot of these other SEC teams do. But it's interesting because Clark Lea, before he came here, he was one of the best defensive coordinators in the nation, and I think we saw some of that last year with the strides they've taken. So
yeah.
I understand his logic. I'm also slightly concerned. You know, again, he's going to have a heavy emphasis on it. He'll be on the headset and everything, but a little concerned that we're losing Clark Lea as our defensive play caller.
Yeah, a little bit, because we did see a tremendous difference when he started doing it. So, I mean, honestly, Mike, you know what's going to happen. It's either A, he's going to look like a hero, or B, you know, week five, we're going to hear Coach Lee's taking over the defensive calling again. So it's going to be one way or the other, but For Vanderbilt to take that next step, I think this is the move you got to make. It's not a move that you want, maybe, because you did see that improvement. But if they're going to be the real deal, if Vanderbilt's going to be a true contender year after year, Mike, you got to be the CEO. You can't focus on one side. You can be, you know, I feel like, you know, they don't have the luxury of hiring these general managers, even though they probably have one because Mike told me everybody's got one now. But I don't think they have the means or whatever to do that. Coach Lee's probably more, you know, dialed into that side of the equation. And if he's focused on a specific side of football, he kind of loses that. So I think this is good for Vanderbilt's growth.
Shane, can you take a wild guess? Who was Clark Lee's first hire when he got to Vanderbilt, the day one?
No, I have no idea.
He hired GM Barton Simmons.
See, told you. Oh, yeah, that's right. No, I knew that. Yeah.
The recruiting guru guy, you know?
Yeah. My bad. Hey, and I've seen him there. I said last time we were down, shit. You know me. I'm not good with names.
Hey, thoughts on this situation? And again, I'm a little bit what I heard, a little bit of speculation. So, again, take everything I'm saying with a grain of salt here, Shane. But have you heard the news that apparently, and this is being widely reported, that Tennessee starting corner Ricky Gibson plans to enter the NCAA transfer portal when it reopens here after spring. So I wanted to get your thoughts on that and just how do you handle a situation like that if you're Josh Heupel? Because there's a million different ways to look at this, but let's say Ricky Gibson, and he may not be, but let's say he's dead set on leaving Tennessee. Do you let him go through spring? Do you say, well, get the hell out of here? You know, with Gerard McCoy, he got his knee injured in training this offseason. So technically, Ricky Gibson's probably your number one corner right now. Yeah. You know, is this a ploy to get more NIL money? Certainly, you have to believe that's in there. What kind of message does that send? I'm speculating on that. Maybe he just really wants to. I think he's from Alabama. Maybe he's like desperate to go to Alabama. Well, here's the other thing.
He has to sit out.
He cannot go to an SEC school. So,
yeah.
If some, and again, I have no idea. If someone has already contacted him, it's probably outside the SEC, probably a Florida State, an Oregon, you know, one of these greedy teams, Nebraska, Matt Rule, you son of a.
Yeah.
But what do you do here? Do you pay him? Because then do other players start doing this? I don't know. This is a sticky situation. What's your thoughts on all that?
Yeah, I think obviously the coaching's going to make this decision. Is it someone that could, is it desperate? You know, I mean, because they can find the money, I would imagine, but you know, it's not the first volunteer we've heard rumors about entering a portal and never does.
Right.
So it could be, you know, and I always worry about that, especially if it does work, because you just kind of set an example and other kids are like, well, shit, if it worked for him, maybe it'll work for me. And he's right. You got an injury, then all of a sudden you become really important for that football team. So kind of has the cards right now. So if he can get his money, he's going to get his money. But if he can't, then I think you know already. I think, what is it, March 5th, whatever, 4th? Yeah. I think you pretty much know if you can find the means to make this kid happy. And if the answer to that question is no, then no, he's not out there. I'm not wasting a rep on him.
Right. Yeah. Cause you got to get someone else ready to play, right?
Exactly. Absolutely. Next man up. So I don't know. Then pay him. No, I'm just kidding.
All right. And then, hey, last one. I thought this was pretty interesting, Shane. It's going to go to my Florida. I'm dead set on hyping him. I hyped him up last year. I sold all my stock after the Miami game and the Texas A&M. And then I bought it all back, Shane, when they went on a damn rampage. But apparently RG3's got a podcast. We have to check that out sometime, Shane. DJ Lagway, yeah, maybe the best player in the country, he was on this RG3 podcast. He was asked, who's Florida's, you know, their top breakout player this year?
Yeah.
You will like this, Shane. He said, I'll say the offensive line. We got everybody coming back. I think the offensive line is going to be the best in America. It, with everybody back, I think we're missing one, but everybody else is returners. They're going to click right away. I'm excited. It's going to be good. Thoughts on Florida possibly having the best offensive line in the damn country here, Shane?
I don't know about that, but I do know that that's how you handle it, QB1. You tell them big boys how important they are, because then they play harder, they practice harder. And you're in, maybe I, you've got a lot of returning production on that side of the football. And ultimately, you know, it doesn't matter how much you pay DJ. If he gets hurt, then, you know, it's like the offensive line is super, super crucial here. And I love it, man. I mean, you want to, for me, man, that's what it is. I want a comfortable quarterback, but I want some big uglies up front that my quarterback has confidence in, because it allows him to take more chances. And Florida may be that team, brother. I'm not doing it. I'm not going to pull an SEC mic and tell you they're going to go to the playoffs, but damn, the stars are starting to line up down there in Gainesville, ain't they?
Right. And so if Florida does have the best offensive line in the country, does it raise the ceiling for what the Gators can do this fall?
Yes, because, you know, it's not just, it's, you know, I mean, you're thinking about protection for DJ, but it's also running. It's also, you know, being two dimensional and being able to chew up the clock and keep your defense off the football field. And, you know, you could do that with some big uglies up front that got that push to them. So, yeah, I think that's kind of what's been missing down there, is just the meanness, the toughness up front, the grit. And, you know, you get a group back, it becomes personal. You know, they want to be the building blocks. They want to be the crew that puts Florida back on the map. So, yeah, I would imagine if my quarterback's saying this, he's just mimicking what he's hearing in the weight room. You know, he's just mimicking what he's hearing in practice.
And we got an excellent question here, Shane, from Steven Up. Isn't that what LSU said last year?
Yeah.
Yeah, they did. And, you know, I was the one always pushing back, though, Shane, that LSU, their rushing numbers looked good 2 years ago, but that was because of Jane Daniels.
Yeah.
And Jane Daniels taking off. He obviously, you know, if you watched football 2 years ago, you saw and last year in the NFL, but he is as good of a passer as he was. He may have been even a better runner. I mean, he was just so dynamic and what have we been saying year after year after year, Shane, where is this LSU big time running back?
Yeah,
they used to have it, and they the whole time under Jane Daniels, they didn't have a really good running back. So I think that was different. And then when LSU transitioned to a different quarterback, I think it exposed their offensive line, because they didn't have that Superman back there to bail them out. Meanwhile, Florida is, I think it's a completely different story. Billy Napier's bread and butter is running the football.
Yeah,
they want to run you to death.
Yep,
they've been doing it since he got there. And what do they like to do off that? Play action, deep shot. What is DJ Lagway, arguably his best thing, is deep ball. So it fits like a glove. I'm just telling you, Shane. What is that team? Come on down.
Who likes croissants more, me or RG3?
You think? I think based on photo evidence, I think RG3. And Jimmy, good point. Caden Durham, he emerged last year.
Yeah.
And they didn't have a running back that good the last couple of years until they had him. I don't think.
Yeah, no, absolutely. They made him. So, yeah, I think also I feel like Florida's a little more balanced than LSU was last year. But, you know, again, this is your quarterback coming. It's like your mom telling, you know, she loves her kids and thinks, you know, that's what they're supposed to say. So I'm not exactly having a parade just yet, but it is a good sign that my QB1's out here saying this.
Yeah, and geez Louise makes an excellent point. I forgot one other thing. Billy Napier, his trademark, mismanaging a tight fourth quarter, hallmark Billy. So that's what it is. But hey, buddy, that's all I got. Like I said, we got a lot of football on this show. Anything else before we hop off the line?
No, it's good. Good to have some news, man. Absolutely. We got some exciting stuff coming up this weekend. South Carolina, be ready. We'll probably be dropping that this weekend. So we're right there at that 30,000 mark. I think we got like 40 more followers. If you could find 40 phones, that would be great. Hit the subscribe button. It really does help us out. And thank you so much for hanging out, man. But looking forward to next week. Going to be down there in Nashville. So if you are down there and you love chicken, you love cold beer, try to find us. We'll be pretty much telling you where we're at the entire time. So I'd love to see you if you're in town.
Absolutely. And I've got at least one studio interview lined up this week.
Yeah.
Getting it all ready. Make sure that when Cousin Shane comes to town, it's all set up and all ready for him. So he can just relax, sit back, eat some chicken, and talk some balls. So
let's do it.
A lot coming on the channel. Stay locked in. We appreciate each and every one of you for hanging out. We'll catch you on the next one.
All right, see you guys. Go balls.
Hey, buddy. This beer's for you, Mike, and Cousin Shane. That SEC podcast loves the pirate, and the pirate loves that SEC podcast. Hail State.